Welcome back, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here, Carry the G and MKE, hanging out with my good friend Camille Davis. Camille, hope you've had a decent time watching the Bucks, but now it's time to talk Packers, and I apologize for that.
I'm thankful for the apology. On Tech File this week, I literally just said, until this team gives me something else to say, because I'm tired of sounding like a broken record, I invoked the spirit of my mother on that podcast last night of saying, I don't want to keep repeating myself about the same things. Listen to me the first time when I say it. But no, it's been cool. Like you mentioned, we got some Bucks games here to watch, take the sting off of the Packers a little bit. But, you know, still carrying the G, still repping the team, and looking forward to having a conversation with you about them.
Well, you know, and look, they've given us some stuff to talk about other than their dismal play on the field. So let's talk about that first, and we'll get into the football side of it eventually. But I mean, I don't even categorize it as good news, bad news, but there are a couple moves that have been made here this week. We'll start, you know, the first move that was made on Monday, at least as far as the public learning about it. The actual deal apparently was signed on Saturday, but Rashawn Gary in the fold for another 4 years. I'm shocked in two regards. One, that it took so long into the season to get this done, because it's very apparent who he is and what he means to this team. But B, some of the reaction from the certain parts of the fan base about what, I don't know what people expected as far as what Rashawn was going to get paid. Look around the market. He is paid what the market will bear as a top pass rusher, which is exactly what he is.
He is. And pass rushers are a premium position. They are not, like, when you have a good one, seriously, it changes everything. And Rashawn Gary has proven his value. Like, his breakout season was 2021. We know he got off to a slow start. He was drafted based on, you know, the possibility of what he could become. We saw an athlete that could be molded into something. And he has taken the time, put in the effort, put in the work to become who he is now. After that breakout year he had in 2021, it looked like 2022 was going to be off to just as fast of a start for him until he got the injury. And now he's back. It's almost a year to the date from when he got injured as we record now. And he's been on a pitch count for a lot of the season and has still been the Packers' most disruptive pass rusher. Like, I don't understand why there would be a negative response to being able to secure somebody like that, especially in a season like this, where at this point it's really about development and trying to see who are the guys worth keeping around and building around. And we actually have one on defense with Gary.
Well, that's an excellent way to segue into our next part, which is the trade of Rasul Douglas, where you're talking about development and seeing who is worth keeping around, so to speak, long-term. Very apparent, the Packers, Brian Gutekunst, making the determination that Rasul isn't part of their long-term plans after getting a call from the Buffalo Bills, which is interesting to me. Brian, we actually just heard from Gutekunst right before we were recording here, saying that they weren't looking to move anybody. And if, in fact, they were looking to do anything, it was to acquire someone or a couple people. That didn't pan out, obviously. But yeah, Rasul, getting up there in age, just turned 29 last month, set to have a close to a $12 million cap hit next year. Apparently, getting to that third-round pick was what Brian needed to pull the trigger. I'm curious, what's your take on this? Because for me, I understand it intellectually. I hate it emotionally, but you can't run a football team on emotion.
That should be a t-shirt, Aaron. You can't run a football team on emotion. Someone write that down backstage.
Right.
But I felt similar. I was shocked to see that the trade was actually executed. Like, I thought I was being pranked at first. Like, wait, the Packers.
How many times did you check different Twitter accounts to make sure that they were real? Like, and
I checked
spoof. Like, account that was trying to, like, get you.
I had to check four. I was like, let me just make sure. And I went over to, like, I have a Packers list on Twitter. I was like, let me make sure I go through this and see if this is really happening. And when I realized that it was, and I was just kind of like, okay, so we sent a fifth and Douglas out to get a third back. So, you know, we can move up maybe, you know, maybe 50 draft spots or somewhere in there with that. Given the fact that the Packers pick is probably going to be early in that fifth round and the Bills will probably be later on in the third, but regardless of such, it had me kind of pause for a second, because like I mentioned, this is a developmental year. We're trying to figure out who you want to build around. And coming into the trade deadline, I was of the elk like, hey, let's just kind of keep it as it is. If we're going to develop, like, see how things are and who we want to keep around, like, let's just rock this out and see what we can do. and getting rid of Douglas, who was our top corner, I'll say, with Jaw's injuries this year, not being available. Like, I don't think there's any defensive player that's taken more snaps than Douglas has. And all the veteran presence that he's had on this team after the last L to the Vikings, where guys are coming to him in the locker room. He's standing up and talking to the media. And we know this is a young team that doesn't have many vets. And we trade out one of the older guys on the defense that filled in that vet role for him. So a young team has gotten younger in certain regards with that. And like you said, I get it intellectually. You save some money. We know that the Packers have been in cap hell since they've been kicking that can down the line, down the line, down the line. And now we're starting to pay up for it. And they found some relief in getting rid of Douglas. But I don't like to see him go.
I don't either. I mean, it's twofold, right? You talk about talking to the media. Man, he speaks his mind. And I loved his kind of unvarnished, you know, words after every one of these losses the last month or so. And he doesn't pull punches. Brian was asked point blank if that had anything to do with the trade. Of course, he denied it. But I can't look at the way this team operates. And, you know, someone just brought this up to me on Twitter. And I got to say, this feels like there's a little fire there. A lot of smoke, but a little fire. When I think Green Bay really wants guys who keep the main thing, and everything else is a distraction. I don't believe it is an actual distraction, but that feels like their viewpoint, whether it's someone as low down the totem pole, say, as Kurt Benkert, which makes it real easy to move on, or whether it's Rasul Douglas, who's very prominent and outspoken at the same time. It just feels like if you are in any way, shape, or form creating any kind of headline or wave outside of the structure of football, man, you better keep your head on a swivel, because there's a good chance they're gonna find an opportunity, or that's gonna go in the ledger for maybe we should move on from this guy, because I don't know how else to think about it, because the examples are there again and again and again when it comes to the Packers.
I would hate to think that Rasul coming out and saying, "I'm not a loser, I don't like losing, I've been losing the last 2 years." I would hate to think that that's considered a wave at Lambeau, because like that's what's.
And I don't know if it is, and I don't, you know, it's just when you have guys of that ilk who are repeatedly moved on from, you know, whether it's those guys, whether it's Za'Darius Smith, you know, something as simple as Tom Crabtree and all the tweets he used to send out, and that being not an impetus, but something again that was in the ledger of like, it's just another headache we don't want to deal with. That's what it feels like, and no one will ever admit that, but I keep seeing the same kind of guy being moved on from.
I mean, like, hey, you have a point with that. I would hate for it to be true, is what I'll say.
I know. Yes, exactly.
Like, I don't like to lose. Like, if people have a problem with someone saying, "I don't like losing," that's a loser mentality in itself. Like, do better then. Like, so I hope that's not the case, but I see your point of bringing up the past examples of guys who might've rocked the boat a little bit. And then you think about it as well, because a lot of times you get a little bit more leeway when you are producing on the field. Exactly. So for Douglas, it's like, he was your best cornerback. And all he said I'm tired of losing. I don't like doing this losing thing. Well, at least he's in a winning situation now in Buffalo, and they needed a cornerback with Andre to White. So it makes sense. And I'm going to be rooting for Rasul going forward for sure.
Now we can root for like half of the Buffalo secondary with Micah Hyde and Rasul Douglas over there. It's like becoming the other Green Bay East after the Jets. I hate it. I hate it. All right. Let's talk about the game, because they did play it and everything, and we had to sit through it, and it was more of the same on offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, can we just pick up a third down, for God's sakes? It just blows my mind how inept they have become. Not only in not being able to pick up third downs, but putting themselves in awful situations on third down, whether it's penalties, whether it's sacks, whether it's missed assignment, whatever. This is a broken record at this point. And Brian sitting up there today saying, you know, we haven't got the results we want. Well, no kidding. And I don't know if there's a silver bullet here, but the entire operation just has to be better, or else we're just going to watch another kind of second half of this season where an offense just can't get out of its own way.
That's a fact. The biggest takeaway for me was just looking at this game and saying, wow, the Packers had more penalties than they did points.
Unbelievable.
Unacceptable. And it we've seen penalties being a problem for this team. Again, like I said at the top of the show, I feel like my mother in a certain regard, but I'm tired of repeating myself. But it's like, like too many penalties. This team does not have the luxury of having a lot of room for error. When you had a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, no disrespect to Jordan Love, it's just the fact that a Hall of Fame quarterback can kind of make up for things the team is, you know, when they're messing up. Right. And this is a situation where you have a young guy who was going to need some support from everyone else around him to be able to have a successful year. Now you're putting a lot more pressure on him to have to try to press and get things done, because he's seeing around him like everything's falling apart right now. The offensive line play has been poor, but at least we got to see some Yosh Nijman against Minnesota.
For about five plays until he got hurt. Yeah.
Until he got hurt. And
that's the Packer way.
Then back comes Rashid Walker and he just commits another penalty. And it's
I mean, it's hard. It's hard to watch a quarterback left out to dry, man. Because look, I get that he is going to be judged harshly. That is the nature of the position. That is part of the gig. I understand it. Aaron used to talk about it all the time. You get way too much blame, you get way too much praise. It's how it is, right? Mm-hmm. That is the nature of the gig. I understand that. But man, when he is getting like completely crucified on Twitter after the game, after that game where no one can catch a cold, let alone a pass, the offensive line can't hold up at all, how are you sitting here blaming Jordan Love? It blows my mind. It blows my mind.
Jordan Love was the leading rusher for the Packers against the Vikings with 34 yards. That's abysmal. Abysmal. You like know? It. Every
can we give him any help, any help.
And you would think that he would be able to get it. Again, the way this team was constructed going into the season, we expected a strong run game to be able to help support the passing game. We expected the offensive line, the vets to work out with some of the young guys. Of course, injuries happen. It's a feature, not a bug of the sport. Understood. Right. All that's understood. Right. Yet and still, we're seeing Aaron Jones and not getting enough touches. And another broken record piece of the puzzle. We've been saying that. That's not even just this season. We've been wanting Jones to get more touches for at least the last year.
Forever.
And it's still not happening. Then we see, you know, Jones's brother shooting out the tweet. Oh.
Alvin Jones came to play after that game. I mean, he was ready to unleash hell on Matt LaFleur.
That tweet, though, it made me think, like, okay, maybe it's not just injuries. Like, maybe it's just the way that they're calling the plays and splitting up the carries between Jones and Dylan. But even yet and still, Jones is your most dynamic offensive player. He should be the focal point of what you're scheming to do. Even if you're not running him out of the backfield, you can use him in the passing game. Like, utilize your best weapon.
What a concept. I mean, look, it's like you said, it is a broken record at this point. I want to switch over to the defensive side of the ball and actually talk about a bright spot from that game, which was Preston Smith. It was nice to see Preston come to play. And by the way, that's against a front and a team that has been really good in pass protection all year long. The Vikings, who have had a real trouble up front on their offensive line for a very long time, prior to this season, this year, that is a team that has been pass protecting at a very high level. And Preston had two sacks. He was really disruptive. It was nice to see Preston like kind of burst back onto the scene, so to speak, because he's been a little quiet. You know, there's no doubt that we'd like to see a little bit more production from him. Sacks do come in bunches. Hopefully he has a few more on Sunday against the Rams, but it was just nice to see Preston like not only in the box score, but just making hay on the field.
It's nice when you notice defensive players for being in the opposing team's back. Like, that's when you love to see it. Like, seeing Preston Smith active, it's like, okay, I want to keep hearing your name in this way. Not when it comes with laundry on the field, but hearing your name because of something positive done. Even TJ Slayton, he had a pretty good game against TJ the Vikings as well. Game.
Yes, he did. Like, I loved his game on, we talked about this on Carry the G Radio. I think that's the best game he's played. I really do. I thought he was really, really good on Sunday.
And that's what we're at this point. Like, if people are tired of focusing on the negatives of this team, I would encourage people to just try every game to identify who were your players of the game.
What a concept.
Defense. Like, just let's see. Because, again, if this is a season where we're looking to see who we want to build around, who we're going to try to keep and continue moving forward with when, you know, we're really trying to get back into playoff championship contention, it's like, okay, well, let's start trying to identify who some of those guys might be now. And there, of course, are names that you have heard for time and time again. And you're like, okay, we're waiting to see. And with rookies, it's a lot harder. But with some of these guys who've been on the roster for a year or two now, it's interesting to see how their play continues to evolve, hopefully progress and not regress over the course of the season, because a lot of what we've seen with this Packers team has been regression since week one. So to be able to say, hey, Preston Smith, we saw you out here, saw you get some sacks, saw you impact what the defense was able to do. TJ Slayton, we saw you out here and your impact. Like, it's really good to be able to talk about some key performances that actually went well for a change of pace, especially after a month of losing. Like, October was rough. We turned the
page. You ain't lying. Oh, man. Well, it's funny to that point. Like, you know, the reaction after every game to some extent is everyone needs to be fired. All these players need to be benched, et cetera, et cetera. And look, Matt LaFleur is not getting fired anytime soon, right? His approach is clearly not going to change when it comes to the game plans, the as far as game play calling, etc. If there was going to be some significant change, you would have thought it had happened already, right? They're losing these games. They're not really changing their approach very much. So I have to think the only way this thing turns around for this season, like, I'm not talking about anything major. I don't expect them to go on a monster run or anything, but the only way this is changing is if the players themselves play better. That is it. And it's hard when you sit here week after week watching the same clown car in this kind of come out the gate out of the exact same way. But that's the key here. Like, there's no magic bullet. There's no savior. There's no cavalry. The players have to play better.
Yes. And we're going to see some young guys have to step up as well. Like, thinking about the Douglas trade, cornerback coming into the season, we saw his position of strength with Douglas, with Ja, you know, with Nixon. And then we had Valentine. Like, it was kind of like, okay, we might have something here. We knew Stokes was going to be coming back. And now we're at a point where Stokes is on IR still. Ja has that bad back. He did not look good against the Vikings at all. Nope. You still got Nixon out there, but now it's like, who's on the boundary? Are we putting Valentine back out there? He's had a rough start to the season when he got some snaps, which far different than the preseason. We saw the flashes, so we know what he could possibly do, but now he's going to get opportunity to really try it out. And maybe this is the optimist in me, but it's like, hey, again, whatever the season is, now I'm just sitting here looking to see who might be the guys. And this is an opportunity for Valentine to really come out, show what he can do. And not just him, but thinking about some of these other guys on that defense in particular, because the defense has been very hard on themselves. And honestly, with all the mistakes the defense has made, and there have been some, they have still put the offense in position to win games. I said a few weeks ago, like, the Packers keep getting this test and they just keep failing at the last minute. And against the Vikings, it was like, listen, this was an open note test. The Vikings gave you guys the ball back a few times to say, like, hey, you could beat us here. Yep. You could beat us here.
Take control. Use your chance.
And they couldn't do it. So it's like, I have this sense of probably hopeless optimism at the same time, where it's like, I can feel, like, I hear Jordan Love say it too, like, we're kind of close. It's just that every phase of this team has a problem they need to fix. So if these guys can play better, we might have something here. And I'm not saying that something is going to be a magical playoff run, but at least getting some excitement back and making the games fun, maybe some points in the first half, you know.
Hey, what a concept. And that's the thing. It's like, you don't need or expect them to suddenly become amazing football players.
No.
It'd be nice, but just more consistency. Because that's the other thing. We've seen these guys, all of the guys making mistakes, all of the guys like hurting the team, have shown that they can do it at a high level. They just aren't doing anything remotely consistently. And if they can just find a little bit of consistency, especially early in these games, then they're off and running. They've got the talent. You know, it's all there.
Exactly. Because this is NFL. We know it's any given Sunday. That's part of what makes this league so much fun, because of the parity within it. Like, there are, of course, those teams that you look at and like, oh, this is a juggernaut. Like, they are really stacked. But for the most part, any given Sunday is real. I mean, we saw it the week when we lost to the Broncos. Every 1-5 team that week won. Like, wouldn't have expected it, but that's how it goes. So, like, the Packers are always going to have a puncher's chance in any game that they're in, because that's the nature of this sport. But if they can just be consistent and not dig themselves into holes with slow first half starts, with excessive penalties, like, it will be fun just to see what they can do. It would also be great if guys could run the right routes. Would love to
hey,
see that.
Hey, no, slow down, slow down. Like one thing at a time. I'm less concerned about running the right routes than I am catching the fucking ball. I mean, you run any which way but loose. I mean, what was that? Randall Cobb's very first touchdown in the league. He ran the wrong route, right? I like running the right routes would be nice, but I just catch the ball. That's I mean, they had six drops at least in that game. Matt LaFleur seemed to indicate they had them graded for more. I just catch the ball, and it's a whole different ball game, literally. So yeah, just the fundamentals, more consistently on the fundamentals. Looking at this Rams game, might be the last chance for a W for a while there, Camille. I don't want to think that way, but that's the way the schedule looks to me. What do you think?
Let me pull up the schedule now that you mentioned it. See, I have my tickets to the Chargers game. You know, gold package represent.
There you go, gold package.
And it's one of those things, the closer it gets, like people have been saying, are you still really going to go to to this game?
Yes, I'm a Packers fan. That's what we do.
We got the Rams this week. And again, like you said, this is a Rams team that Packers can beat. I'm not sure if we will, but we can.
One hell of a week to move your best corner when you're facing these wide receivers.
With Cooper Kupp and, yeah.
A lot of zone.
And I was going to open up another can of worms, but I'm not. I'm looking at the schedule. We're looking ahead. We're not looking back right now.
No.
Rams, Steelers, Chargers, Lions, Chiefs, Giants, Buccaneers, Panthers, Vikings, and Bears to end the season.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they can get a W this week against the Giants and the Bears. I think that's realistic. The rest of them, I'm not feeling great about it.
I mean, hey, listen, the Chargers can always charger. Like,
best they can with the best of them.
Okay. So that could be another one. The Steelers, I mean, the Steelers are just tough. Even when they're not, quote unquote, good, they're always going to be a tough
matchup. Their place, too, is always tough.
Yeah, and
always.
Playing in Pittsburgh is very, very difficult. So, yeah. I mean, it doesn't look quite super optimistic in the schedule. I'm trying to find it, Aaron. I'm trying to find it.
I feel you. I feel you struggle. I feel the struggle. I get it.
We get the Bears to end this. I don't know. That doesn't even feel right. I don't even know. We made a joke on a technical foul saying that at this point, the Packers and the Bears are trash brothers because we generally make fun of our Bears fan on the cast.
Sure.
And we don't.
But now we're in the same boat. You can't even do it. That's the thing. Like, they fired the running backs coach, some HR violation, whatever. Like, normally I'd be like, at least making a little light of it, like a little fun of it. Right. The Bears still suck, etc. But I can't even revel in the Bears' misery when I got all my own misery to deal with. You know, it's a little hard. It's a little difficult. I'm not a fan of it. I need the Packers to start winning some football games.
Please.
I cannot handle this.
Can't have another winless one.
God, no, no, God, no. But hey, they can't beat the Rams. Anything's possible. Camille, can't thank you enough. Really appreciate the time. Let the people know what you're up to this week, as far as where else they can find you here on the internet.
For sure. Our episode of Technical File just came out today. We record it live every Tuesday around 7 p.m. Central Time. So if you would like to be part of the show, join us live. We interact with all of the listeners who tune in. So do that on our YouTube page, Technical File, TECKNICAL. You can also find me weekly or every day over there on Locked On Bucks.
Hey.
Every day, your team every day on Locked On Bucks with Justin Garcia. I'll be doing the post-game show tonight for our game with the Raptors with Frank Madden. And then tomorrow show, we will be talking about the upcoming in-season tournament game. So make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Bucks as well for all of your Milwaukee Bucks needs.
My Bucks. That's
your
right.
Buck. Yes, sir.
My Buck, baby. Let's go. I'm so excited. I haven't watched a single game yet, but I'm very excited for my Bucks. No doubt about it. Camille, thanks so much, and I'll talk to you next week.
For sure.